across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. From our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
I am here, and I am happy to bring you this Up North News Radio special, Wisconsin Voices from the Democratic National Convention. The convention held in Chicago was a gathering of dozens of delegates from county parties all across the state. Same thing happens with the Republicans when they gathered in Milwaukee earlier. A chance for the rank and file to hear from some of the voices and the people at the very top of the ticket. The delegates heard from both of the Obamas, both of the Clintons, of course, from the nominee, Vice President Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. But once they were done listening to everybody up at the podium, it came time for us to listen to them. What are people in Wisconsin, especially those who are going to be active in Democratic politics for this ticket, what are they thinking? Are they comfortable now with the change made by Joe Biden to step down from running for a second term? And how are they going to keep from being overconfident even as they head into the field for what we have to assume will be a close race? They always seem to be here in Wisconsin. So down in Chicago with my trusty microphone and a noise filter that I really hope got a lot of the crowd noise out of the way, we talked to all kinds of folks. And this hour, you're going to be hearing from Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski in just a moment. We'll hear from Deb McGrath about Democrats in the 3rd Congressional District as they look to unseat Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden. We'll talk a bit about how Milwaukee got some time in the spotlight, talking not only about removing lead water pipes, but also redeveloping an area that had been practically destroyed in the name of so-called urban renewal. We'll also hear from State Representative Jody Emerson of the Eau Claire area, some of her perspective on how the presidential race still calls attention to economic issues at the legislative level. There's new maps out there. People are voting for new candidates for the legislature. What are they voting on? And what do they want to hear from legislators or their challengers? And then finally, we'll talk to a Western Wisconsin delegate and his 16-year-old granddaughter. He invited her to come along. She wasn't going to at first. She wasn't really excited about the race. And then things happened where Kamala Harris is at the top of the ticket, and you will find her point of view rather refreshing as we wrap up our special visit to Wisconsin Voices at the Democratic Convention. Before we start hearing from some of those speakers, I want to remind you that if you missed the first hour of our special, or if you missed any episode of Up North News Radio when we're normally live from 6 to 8 a.m. on weekdays, all you have to do is go to civicmedia.us and click on shows and look for Up North News Radio or any show. And every one of our shows, each hour, is its own little podcast episode. You can click on it right there on the website and listen back, or turn us into a podcast. We'd love to have you listen to us on demand when you can't be listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, let's get back into hearing some of the voices from Chicago and talking to Sarah Godlewski, both about the energy and enthusiasm in Chicago, but then how that translates to coming back and knocking on doors, making phone calls, and talking to the voters of Wisconsin.
You know, people like you, we know where you stand. We get what you're doing. There are people that think, well, what's the point of doing this? But you're talking to a lot of local delegates who then go home and, what's the modern term? Influencers, thought leaders, whatever you want to call them. What are you hoping that some of these folks who are at their first convention do once they start going home and talking about this experience?
Well, we know, for example, our Democratic values are Wisconsin values because we are fighting for things that Wisconsinites care about, because we believe that sometimes you need a hand and sometimes you lend a hand. And that's how government should be working for everybody. And so whether it is making sure that, how are we lowering the price of prescription drugs, because medical debt is the number one reason why people are falling behind, because the prescription drug companies are taking advantage. Like, these are things we're fighting for. Our how Kamala Harris just put out her policy about homeownership. We know that is a top priority for, we're falling behind with first-time home buyers. So the folks at convention today are being re-energized about these Democratic policies, about our values, so we can go home and fight, because as Kamala says, when we fight, we win.
Let's remind folks that these are not just federal issues, that there are state decisions, laws, bills, policies that could be impacted. Let's start with things like paid leave and the childcare crisis. There are things that could be done in the Wisconsin legislature, right?
Well, we've seen Minnesota has a paid family leave policy. Illinois has a paid family leave policy. And so how are we getting people to want to stay in Wisconsin and move to Wisconsin? We have to have family-friendly policies. And paid family leave is a great example because you can't just take off work to take care of a sick child or a sick parent and not get paid. And so we are the only developed nation that does not have a paid family leave policy. And so states are understanding that they've got to do it now and on their own. They can't necessarily wait for the federal government. And Wisconsin could be a part of that group. And really, you know, I know that's something that the governor and the legislature is fighting for. And it's one of the reasons why we need to flip our legislature to make sure we can actually get paid family leave in Wisconsin.
And then finally, in your role in watching over the way that democracy is under attack in Wisconsin here, what does it mean that we're still hearing Wisconsin Republicans, not just Donald Trump, refusing to say forthrightly that they will accept the election results this November, no matter what?
I will tell you, it's like a bad movie. And how I compare it to is it's like Batman and Robin with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz versus the Joker. You know, the Joker's trying to do whatever he can, start whatever kind of conspiracy theories to try to create doubt. But we know that that's just not true. We have one of, you know, our system in Wisconsin has always worked. Even our Republican Supreme Court agreed that Donald Trump did not win the 2020 election. And so we just can't fall into this trap. We have to talk about how not only we, how important our voice is in making sure we go out and vote. And by the way, Pat, as you know, the August primary, we had the largest turnout in a presidential primary in 60 years. And we stopped the Republicans' power grab with those egregious constitutional amendments. We've got to do the same thing. We've got to make sure that everybody understands that their voice matters and that's how we're going to win in November.
And that's where, to wrap things up here, overconfidence is a real thing. You saw that from some folks in 2016. We see it in every cycle. How do you guard against that between now and then?
Well, we've seen it in 2016 with not just Hillary Clinton, but also with Russ Feingold. Everybody thought that Russ Feingold, who was a beloved U.S. senator, was going to win in November in 2016. But Ron Johnson came with his millions and basically bought the election at the detriment of Wisconsin. And so this is true, too, with Tammy Baldwin. Tammy Baldwin is running against a very rich California banker who literally decided to fly in and run in Wisconsin. And as my friend Mayor Pete says, Pat, it's like putting a label on a California Pinot and trying to put it on a bottle of Spotted Cow. It just doesn't work that way here in Wisconsin. And so we just can't take anything for granted. And when I think about this, I think about how in 2020, Joe Biden only won by a few votes per ward. That's it. And so you have to talk to everybody because in Wisconsin, we only know close elections. And so your friends, your family, everybody matters. And if you care about reproductive rights, homeownership, paid family leave, childcare, family values, our Wisconsin values, our democratic values, and we need you to vote this November.
That again was Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. Now let's turn to the remarks made by Senator Tammy Baldwin to the convention in Chicago, centered on protecting Medicare and Social Security. And you have to admit that for some time now, that argument had almost become cliche in American politics, where Democrats warned that Republicans want to cut at the social safety net, and Republicans talked about entitlements and how there needed to be budget cuts. But it always seemed like the cuts were designed to hurt working Americans to pay for tax cuts for the very wealthy. Still, a lot of people said, well, Republicans wouldn't actually cut Medicare and Social Security. Well, a lot of conservatives also said they were never going to repeal Roe v. Wade, and then they did. So there isn't really that level of trust anymore when Republicans flip-flop on the issue and say they got to cut entitlements, but then turn around and propose cuts to Medicare and Social Security, as Donald Trump did in all four of the budgets that he proposed to Congress. So the remarks here by Senator Tammy Baldwin were quite appropriate to Wisconsin families who want to know somebody's going to be fighting for them to protect the things that they have paid into and earned.
Tonight, I want to talk about family. We know that all families don't look alike. My mother was a teenager when I was born, and she struggled with addiction. I never met my father, but I had two incredible grandparents who stepped in and raised me, David and Doris Green. Everything I know, I learned from them. In every way a child needs, my grandparents were there for me. And as they grew older, it was my privilege to be there for them. So when I work to protect Medicare and Social Security, I do it with a personal knowledge of what those big programs meant in small but deeply meaningful ways to my grandparents. And I know what they mean for your parents and grandparents. But let's be clear, that is all at risk today. Donald Trump was asked what he would do about Social Security and Medicare, and he said, and I quote, "There's a lot you can do in terms of cutting."
Have you changed your outlook on how to handle entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Mr. President?
So first of all, there is a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting, and in terms of also the theft and the bad management of entitlements.
Cutting? He's talking about cutting Social Security and Medicare while giving a huge new tax break to billionaires and corporations? Well, Kamala Harris is not going to let that happen. And Tim Walz is not going to let that happen. We are not going to let that happen. You know, they've got it backwards. We Democrats, we honor our elders and ask the wealthiest to pay their fair share. Wisconsin's state motto is forward. And my friends, that's where we're headed.
And there was Tammy Baldwin making her convention speech last week. Coming up, we're going to talk to former congressional candidate Deb McGrath about the race in the 3rd Congressional District and party unity in trying to unseat incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden. We'll hear from Democratic Party First Vice Chair Felicia Martin about Milwaukee getting some of the spotlight from the convention podium. And a 16-year-old from Western Wisconsin comes to the convention as a visitor and talks about her change in attitudes about the race. Now with Kamala Harris on the ticket. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back now on Up North News Radio, a special edition looking back at the Democratic National Convention, Democratic voices from across Wisconsin who gathered in Chicago. We'll also get some non-Wisconsin voices in this segment simply because Labor Day is coming up and many of the nation's union leaders spoke to the convention as well. But first, let's talk about the 3rd Congressional District where incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden is being challenged by Becca Cook, the Democrat who came out of a primary that got a little contentious at times. I talked to Deb McGrath, who was one of the earlier congressional candidates in the 3rd, to ask if the party is going to come together. And she says, of course they will, given that the 3rd is such a bellwether district in a bellwether state.
Well, the path to victory runs through the 3rd, and we've always known that, but now we're proving it to everybody. I think that when you look at the elections, the past couple of elections, we've had increased voter registration, increased turnout, increased attention to the issues. When you look at infrastructure investments and everything else, we're really showing that we care about everyone in Wisconsin, but that the 3rd is a place where we can showcase what's happening in the nation.
You know, I talked to William Garcia at the rally in Eau Claire and said, are you going to be the chief butt kicker for anybody that's not doing their part coming out of this primary to make sure that it's an all hands on deck situation? Do you feel like the 3rd District Democrats are coming together that way?
Oh, yes, Pat. We've always been, Speaker Pelosi, former Speaker Pelosi, just talked about owning the ground and working that, and really, so we have a strategy for getting out to voters and talking with them, meeting them with the issues where they are. And that is really up and down the ballot, being able to talk about not party, but to think about who are the people that are really making a difference for you in your life. And those are the people you need to vote for. Because I know we're in a purple place, but we've got to meet people where they are. And we have been doing tours. We've been meeting people where they are, making calls. So we're on fire.
What does the energy that comes with a Harris-Walz ticket do to change the dynamic reaching voters in the third?
Well, that was a game changer. It really was. I think all of us can say that immediately we saw more, because we had our Dunn County Fair, which just within days, that was, you know, just 4 days after that announcement. And we just saw such a boost in volunteerism, donations, activity, people walking, marching, and showing flags or at bridges. And people who'd never docked doors before saying that they wanted to.
It may sound, you know, superficial that just because a farmer is on the ticket that that's going to make a difference, but it really does have some significance for the third district to have Tim Walz on that ticket, doesn't it?
Oh, it's true. And right, that he gets us. I mean, he really absolutely understands our concerns about health care, our concerns about family farms, and education. And immigration. Some of the biggest issues are their issues. And so we're very proud of Tim Walz, Governor Walz, Coach Walz.
What kind of a difference is it going to make on the immigration issue when you have, you know, Republicans have been giving the same anti-immigrant stance all this time? In an agricultural district like the 3rd CD, shouldn't there be a different take on the immigration issue about reforming it, something that Derek Van Orden so far does not seem to have embraced?
That, you know, I've been talking about this for years, and because I have personal experience with it. Having served abroad, I would see people lined up in the darkness to come here legally to do work that we need to do. And what we need to do is have better immigration policy. We need to pass legislation, and Republicans won't do it. They're just calling immigration a dirty word and vilifying people who, we're all immigrants too. And people say, well, that was then. No, it's now. And our industries depend on sound immigration policy. So this is on us, but it is on Republican Party to come together to get sound immigration policy.
And then finally, talk about the difference between spending versus investments, because again, Republicans have talked a lot about spending over the past 4 years, but what have those investments really done for the third district?
Well, my dad, Al Baldus, used to say, you want someone to you know, be able to feed their family, teach someone how to fish, right? Yeah, that goes back to that same thought of when you give someone the ability to invest in their own businesses, their own communities, that's what makes us thrive. Investments in education. And all of these things that we need to grow our next generation. So it's instead of just spending and you give people the chance to get up on their feet again, that's investment.
All right, Deb, thank you so much.
And now, the voices of labor from the Democratic Convention.
You know, 4 years ago, we faced a pandemic and a recession with a president who didn't care one bit what working people were going through. Enter Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Within weeks, they passed the American Rescue Plan, pulling the economy back from the brink and putting us back to work.
She shares our vision for a modern-day labor movement, a movement that meets the needs of workers in the 21st century, and an economy that is ready for the future.
For decades, we've fought for more investment in our infrastructure. While Trump made empty promises, the Biden-Harris administration delivered. Now we're rebuilding highways, bridges, and tunnels, and powering a clean energy and manufacturing boom. Thanks to them, our members can buy a home, put their kids through school, retire with dignity. As president, Kamala Harris will keep fighting for workers who are building America. Today, we're building a new energy future while providing great paying jobs and a stable retirement for all working families. Every step of the way, Kamala Harris has been there for us. She's bringing back American manufacturing to forgotten places throughout our country. She cast the deciding vote to save our pension plans.
We all saw the digital divide during the pandemic. Millions of American families didn't have access to high-speed internet at home. Too many kids were forced to go online class in McDonald's parking lots. But as Vice President, Kamala Harris helped pass the largest investment in broadband ever, ever. She gave CWA members a seat at the table so we could work to connect every household to the internet while creating good union jobs.
This election is about two economic visions. One where families live paycheck to paycheck, where people have no right to join a union. A CEO's dream, but a worker's nightmare. Or an opportunity economy, where we lower the costs of groceries, prescriptions, and housing. Where we go after big pharma, corporate landlords, and price gougers. Where there's no such thing as a man's job or a woman's job, or like Donald Trump would say, a black job. Just a good union job. That's the future our President Joe Biden has fought for. And that's the future Kamala Harris and Tim Walz will keep fighting for. Let's build it together.
Welcome back. This is Up North News Radio, a special edition, Wisconsin Voices from the Democratic National Convention. I'm joined for a little bit here by our newest edition, Up North News political correspondent, Elizabeth Montemurrow, as we talk about some of the things that were said and done by the Democrats at their recent gathering in Chicago. The Democrats wanted to meet in Milwaukee 4 years ago. That, of course, became virtual because of COVID. But Milwaukee still got a little love, got a little attention in Chicago. We played before the comments from the mayor, Cavalier Johnson, about rebuilding parts of 6th Street that had been decimated to, you know, put the interstate in many years ago. But the other big story is about the ongoing effort to replace lead water pipes in Milwaukee. And Elizabeth, you talked to a woman who's been all over this. Why don't you introduce her to us, and then we'll play a little bit of her convention speech.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to speak with a woman named Deanna Branch. Her son, Aiden, actually had lead poisoning at the age of 2. And here we are 10 years later, and she's really become an advocate for not just her son, but for raising the issue about lead pipes and you know, the issue or damage that lead pipes can cause and the health effects that it has on children.
Yeah, we've been covering her for a number of years now here at Up North News. And how she's helped lead the charge to get the EPA, get the Lead Out Initiative active in the area. The vice president had come to Milwaukee sometime back to talk about this as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. So let's hear that in her own words. And so here's a little bit of the remarks that Deanna Branch made at the Democratic Convention last week.
My name is Deanna Branch, and I'm an advocate and mom from Milwaukee. When my son, Aiden, was 2, he was hospitalized due to high levels of lead in his blood. Lead was everywhere, in our pipes, in our paint, and in our soil, President Biden and Vice President Harris passed the bipartisan infrastructure law. It's removing lead pipes from communities like ours. As president, Kamala Harris will make sure everyone can drink clean water and be, in Aiden's words, lead-free superheroes.
Which is exactly what we need and what we deserve. And you had a chance to catch up with her as well in Chicago. Tell us more about that conversation, and then we'll play a clip of it.
You know, I'll say, Pat, she was more than grateful and appreciative to attend the convention, let alone speak. Like, when I spoke with her, she was just very honored, was the word she kept using. Just, I'm so honored to be here and be able to share our story. And her children were also with her, so she was excited to share that experience with them. But I'll transition a little bit, Pat, to that last line that she said, Aiden's words, lead-free superheroes. That actually refers to the title of a book that she authored, and Aiden, her son, who had lead poisoning, illustrated. So that was actually, I think, the next part of the interview that I'd like to share.
Yeah, where we talk about the encouragement that she got from Vice President Harris about this book that they were working on together.
When the Vice President first came to Milwaukee with the Vice Infrastructure Plan 2 years ago, that's when I brought her Aiden's artwork, because he wasn't vaccinated, so he couldn't see her himself. I brought a photo of Aiden in his artwork, and she loved the artwork, and she said that it would make a great book. And my pastor agreed, and she helped me get that book funded and published. So when the Vice President called me for the last summit a year ago, I was invited to the White House, and I delivered her the first copy of the book, Aiden's Lucky Superhero Book. Now me and Aiden, the whole family, Jane and Raylan too, we travel around different states and communities and give out free copies of the book. We teach the children and parents about lead and how to be lead safe and what foods to eat and how to prevent their child from further exposure.
So where does the story go from here? The work goes on because of the bipartisan infrastructure law?
Yeah, I would say definitely. And it's not even just advocacy now. Even as Deanna mentioned, she's seeing the change, and we are seeing that change. One of the other Milwaukee residents that spoke at the convention was also Rashawn Spivey, who is the owner of Hero Plumbing, and his company is actually helping replace the lead pipes in the city of Milwaukee.
When President Biden and Vice President Harris announced their goal to replace every lead pipe in America, Hero stepped up to help make that vision a reality. We went to work replacing lead pipes that served homes and childcare communities or childcare centers in our communities. Since then, we've replaced more than 1,000 pipes. That was made possible thanks to Vice President Kamala Harris. And when she visited Milwaukee 2 years ago, I got to show her our work up close. Because of her leadership, I've grown my business and helped kids like Aiden have safer, healthier lives.
There is, sadly, a political component to this. As I mentioned last week when Deanna made her remarks, that there should have been much more money directed toward this project years ago. But as Governor Tony Evers put funds in his state budget proposal for it, Republicans took the money out and had the audacity to say publicly that they just felt too much money was going to Milwaukee. Because apparently, in their view, you know, lead poisoning for children in Milwaukee is okay compared to where it is in other places. But that hasn't stopped people like Deanna Branch and others from getting involved. And we're very thankful for that. And we're thankful for Elizabeth Montemurro for covering it for us at the convention. Elizabeth, thanks very much. It's going to be great to have you here.
Thanks, Pat.
There were also remarks at the convention from Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, another benefit of the bipartisan infrastructure law.
In Wisconsin, keeping promises is important. So is making amends for your mistakes. One of those mistakes happened 60 years ago in a neighborhood called Bronzeville, brimming with black music, black culture, and entrepreneurship. And then came urban renewal and the construction of Interstates 94 and 43, ripping our communities apart. Sixth Street was widened and people of color were displaced. Homes destroyed, businesses shuttered, all for a quicker commute. Under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, we're bringing Bronzeville back. With more green space, bike paths, and walkable streets to serve people who actually live there, the music is coming back, the culture is coming back, and thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law, the opportunities are coming back.
One of the state leaders of the Wisconsin Democratic Party is Felicia Martin. She's the first vice chair to party chair Ben Wickler. And I had a chance to talk to her about the Milwaukee section of the convention, you could say, about the bipartisan infrastructure law and the things that it's done. But I also asked her about how communities of color, how women, how young people have all been responding since Kamala Harris became the nominee of the Democratic Party. Needless to say, like many other Democrats at the convention, the energy level shot up sharply.
This week has given me a fresh hope, not a new hope, but a fresh hope. It has been refreshing to see the energy go up through the roof, through the stratosphere. And I am so thankful to Joe Biden, our gracious president, who put country above his own personal ambition and his love and the desire to continue on as president of the United States. That has to be one of the most magnanimous gestures I have ever witnessed in my lifetime, and I thank him for his service. But now he's passed the baton to a new generation, and we are excited to move forward.
And what has that done for folks in your position who want to help make sure that you get a good voter turnout?
It was a game changer. Mm-hmm. Having him to pass the baton to Kamala Harris in that moment when we're out knocking doors, recruiting in front of gas stations and in front of the food stores. Once Joe stepped aside and he gave his endorsement to Kamala Harris, oh, those phone calls were not hard to make simply because we didn't have to make them. They were calling us. Mm-hmm. Now shifts are being filled and we have volunteers, but we always need more because we want to continue to register voters and we want to make sure that this is a historic turnout for our President of the United States come November 5th, 2024.
Tell me about what it's going to be like engaging young first-time voters because of Kamala Harris on the ticket.
What a fantastic moment for anyone casting a ballot for the very first time. Just think of the historic nature of it. First of all, you're casting your ballot and your voice is being raised in a consequential election. You're gonna help elect the first female president of the United States. And she's a triple threat because she's a prosecutor. She understands. Her parents were immigrants. And here's the topper of it all. She's a beautiful, confident, competent woman who's black and Southeast Asian. I couldn't ask for more. Never would have thought I'd seen it in my lifetime. And with those first-time voters, those young people who are revved up and ready to have their voice heard, oh, I owe them a debt. Even before their vote is cast, I owe them a debt for their enthusiasm.
So because we lived through 2016, I have to ask, how do you guard against overconfidence, complacency, people saying, well, it's not really worth my time to show up in November. This is in the bag.
That's an excellent question. And let me tell you, this is the only time I would suggest looking back. Think on these things is something that's a tenet of my faith. And what things are we talking about? Things like voter rights being stripped away from folks. We're talking about affirmative action being stripped away from people. We're talking about equal opportunity being removed, DEI being removed. And then having Roe v. Wade overturned, if you think your rights are guaranteed, you better think again. This gentleman has told you, and I use that word loosely, he has told us what his plan is to be a dictator. Know and understand your freedoms that you love today may not be available come November 6th and January 2025. So this is the moment where we are going to stand the guard, we're going to stand the watch, and we're going to make certain that there is no overconfidence and we don't have a repeat of 2016, but let's have it to be a trifecta in 2024 of what happened in 2020.
My last question is on infrastructure. It was really good to have Deanna Branch there and Rashawn Spivey.
Yes.
But the mayor talked about Bronzeville and 6th Street. And I think so few people knew about that. How important was it for that story to be told?
For those of us in Milwaukee in particular, and this happens across this nation. We've heard of Roseville down in Florida. We all know about Tulsa, Oklahoma. And
Rondo
Greenwood.
In the Twin Cities
and
is the one I
yes,
know about, yes.
There are so many stories like Bronzeville, Milwaukee. And for that infrastructure bill to come at this moment, and it has taken more than 40 years for us to start to rebuild Bronzeville and our infrastructure, where the African-American community had absolutely everything we needed to sustain our people, our culture. And right now we see that renaissance happening. And I am so thankful to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and most importantly, to Governor Tony Evers, who had control of those dollars and sent them directly to the municipalities.
Lisa Martin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again, first vice chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Felicia Martin. When we come back, State Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire and the 16-year-old granddaughter of a delegate talks about her observations now that Kamala Harris is on the ticket. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Children and their grandchildren to know I was here at this moment, that we were here, and that we were with Kamala Harris every step of the way. This is our time, America. This is when we stand up. This is when we break through. The future is here. It's in our grasp. Let's go win it.
We have focused a lot, understandably, on the Democratic Party passing the torch, as a metaphor, to a new generation of candidates and leaders, while at the same time being respectful of the party elders who are stepping away in some form or another. For Hillary Clinton, it was that surprising and crushing loss in 2016. For Joe Biden, it's walking away from a re-election effort in 2024. And so for delegates who have followed these leaders for a long time, like State Representative Jody Emerson, seeing the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton getting all of that adulation was nice, but it was also a little bittersweet.
It takes us a while to get to certain places, and I think Hillary being the first woman to make a full run at a major party and, you know, putting 1,000 cracks in the glass ceiling paves the way for Kamala to push on through. But it was great to see her get the love and applause that she got. I mean, I think as women and as Democrats, we owe her a lot.
I'm talking about the federal end of things with Harris and Walz and everything that they do. But this week should also serve as a reminder to voters that there are state lawmakers who can make a difference on all these issues as well.
You know, I mean, the Republicans keep on framing abortion as a state's issue. If that's how we're going to do it, which I think we can take back Congress and, you know, keep the White House and pass, you know, sign Roe into law there. But we also need to make sure that we're doing it at the state level. You know, things can go differently at the federal level. And if we've got things codified into law here in Wisconsin, then it doesn't matter what happens at the federal level. So that's our goal. That's my goal right now, is to focus on flipping the assembly. And if we flip the assembly, we're going to flip the third, we're going to keep Tammy in office, and we're going to keep the White House.
What's the best thing that a better legislature could do for affordability for Wisconsin families? It's the first thing that comes to mind.
There's like 10,000 things that we could be doing for the working families of Wisconsin when it comes to affordability. Simple things like this happened in Minnesota with making sure that, you know, school meals are free. Feeding the children for 10 meals a week adds some money back into people's pockets at, you know, a working family level. There's that, there's housing, there's drug prices. There's 1,000 things that we could be talking about. And it comes down to who is working for the working people of our country versus who is working for the upper 1%. We know that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and Democrats up and down the ticket, they are working for the working people.
Childcare. There's another one of them.
Childcare, public education, higher education. At the state level right now, we are kicking in 18% to what it costs for a college degree. For a public university, 18%. We need to do better. We're the 43rd in the country for funding our institutions of higher ed. We need to do better.
Your district is more competitive this time around. So when people in those new areas say, well, what have you done? What will you do? What do you tell them most when you're at the doors?
Yeah, so even though I'm a member of the minority party, I've been really successful in passing legislation. This last session, I was the lead Democratic author on the housing package that put more than $500 million into our housing industry for workforce and senior housing. It is a crisis all around our state, but certainly in the Chippewa Valley. We're one of the fastest growing regions in the state. People aren't going to come into our area and take new jobs if they can't find a house or an apartment to live in. And so we need to create more. This $500 million project that we're doing helps us do that in perpetuity. It's a revolving loan program where it's going to fund itself. The other thing that I've passed is some public safety measures. One thing that I'm incredibly proud of is the fact that for first responders, most first responders, we made PTSD a workman's comp issue. So that if, you know, a police officer, a firefighter is experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder because of what they've seen and done on the job, we take care of their mind as much as we are taking care of their body when it comes to work comp. Reach out if you need help, but we're also allowing the system to support you. It gives you time off of work. It gives you the counseling that you need. It gives you the therapies that you need.
State Representative Jody Emerson, and we cover the past, present, and future with our final pair of Wisconsin voices from the convention, St. Croix County Delegate John Krizik and his granddaughter.
My name is Phoenix Score.
Okay. And who brought you here today?
My grandpa did, John Krizik, so he's a delegate.
Okay. Why'd you agree to come? You didn't have to say yes.
Well, it'd be a great opportunity, first of all. And second of all, it's like this is only going to happen once, especially with Kamala running. And I don't know, there's so much hope and whimsy and joy. So I wanted to experience it all firsthand.
Did you have these feelings before Kamala Harris was on top of the ticket?
No.
What is it about Kamala Harris that has got you fired up?
Well, she seems like a genuine person. She seems good. She has good intentions, I think. And a lot of other young people that I've talked to about politics have similar opinions on her.
Is there still something historic about her candidacy that appeals to young people?
100%. I think Kamala is for sure the person that should be the first woman president.
What do you think accounts for the renewed interest in who's running for president among folks of your generation?
I think a lot of kids have grown up and just felt powerless in the political scene, and now with younger person running compared to other people in politics, I feel like she's more relatable and she's on top of the issues that young people want to see addressed. Climate change is a big thing for me and a lot of other people, and the war in Gaza. I trust her to have, you know, good head on her shoulders and to be direct with who to support on a global scale.
What is it about this fellow here that you know, stirred your interest?
He's always been involved in politics, so since I was a little kid, he'd be talking at the dinner table, and you know, going off about latest political issues locally and, you know, on a national scale. And that's always kind of kept my interest, you know, in politics going. So he's been the mentor for most of my beliefs and my experience.
I just want her to see the real experience of passion that we have for our country and for the Democratic point of view.
How are you feeling about that choice to bring her?
Oh, I feel it's excellent. It's been wonderful. This will be an experience of the rest of her life and the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Now I have my chance for my 5 granddaughters to give them hope for a future and to feel this joy that we're feeling right now.
Joy and hope for the future. That seems like a good place to leave things for this Up North News Radio special, Wisconsin Voices from the Democratic National Convention. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.